I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. We're here at the Megaplex at the Gateway. It's reopened, and apparently things are hopping here. 007 is out. I love James Bond movies. I've loved them from the time I was a kid.
They have it.
In fact,
they have
Jaws. You remember Jaws, the guy with the metal teeth?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Teeth? You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Jason Buck.
He does
and
look like him,
I know.
Yes.
I totally told Jason that. And he'll laugh at this. It's not a... It's
no,
not
no.
A
it's, no,
Jason,
listen. But, he does look the same. They look very similar.
A
the
lot
mustache,
of the
sa-
well,
all that.
And the same growls too. He's like,
yes.
You know, that's kind of.
And
how,
actually, in real,
how Jason talks.
And in real life, nicest guys in the world. Like you, like the guy who played Jaws, hilarious.
There's no one better than Jason Buck. I saw something today.
What'd you see?
I watched the It's a Football Life of Vince Lombardi.
Okay,
man, what an amazing. Here's the coolest thing about Vince Lombardi. Like his players hated him, right? He was tough. But every single guy showed up at his funeral, like that they were.
He made their lives, man.
He told them the things that they needed to hear, and he set a standard, and he held everyone accountable to that standard, and they all appreciate. They all go. Look, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be who I am today. Bart Starr. He went into Bart Starr's house after he'd left the Packers. Bart's wife goes, all of this is possible because of you.
We would not have this.
And Vince Lombardi got up, gave him a hug, cried, and walked out of the house.
That's amazing. Well,
cool thing. Anyways.
I will say, too, people who've never heard our show before or have heard us maybe not talk about this before, you have similar thoughts when you talk about Don Shula. You're like, meanest coach.
Hated him.
You were scared of him. I love the idea of being scared of somebody and then going, yeah, but anyway, love that guy. Like, there's no such version of that for the rest of us.
Right.
I think it's like there's that part where you go, yeah, but I know what they were doing.
Well,
I know what they were
doing.
Dowdle
kind of brings that same.
Our boss, yeah. I haven't come around on him yet either. One of these, at the very end I'll go, all this, when I point to you and I, all this is possible because of us. Not you, Nate. Get out of here. All right. So joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday with Mitch Harper. Matt, there's a game going on this weekend down in Provo. It's a 1:30 kick. It is it's in the afternoon this weekend. The question is, does that time shift? Does the number 10 ranking? Does all that equate into being a different weekend for BYU football? Or is it just the fact that they may be playing with a third-string quarterback?
It's the latter, yeah. So the ranking doesn't bother me at all. I think this team has proven throughout the year and last year that they can handle the expectations. And I don't think the day game will be an issue. I mean, the schedule will be significantly different for them because they usually stay in a hotel the night before and then they're killing time all day long. So this will be probably a wake up, eat breakfast, head to the stadium situation. But the quarterback situation is the big question mark right now. And this is a trap game, guys. I know that Boise State they're 2-3. BYU's got a nice little winning streak going on against Boise State, but this Boise State team, two of their three losses have come on final possession. Like they missed a field goal against Oklahoma State, and they threw a pick on a game-winning drive against UCF. So they could be 4-1, and this is a dang good team, and you gotta be careful if you're BYU, because you got to show up for this one.
Well, my question is, who's going to show up? I mean, which quarterback is going to be – who do you think is going to be the quarterback? We're trying to get it out of Jaren Hall all week long. And he's like a vault. He doesn't say anything.
I think he's a vault because he knows he might not be the guy, right?
I think it's Jacob Conover. I hate saying that. I wish it was Jaren Hall. And look, Jacob Conover, there's like this – it shouldn't be that surprising, but there's like this aura around highly recruited quarterbacks that haven't played. It's like they're going to just burst onto the scene and take the city by storm. And that just has not been the history of freshmen – quarterbacks in college football, and he won the game against Utah State in the second half. I get that, but that was because of the offensive line and Tyler Allgeier, and I know the play calling also got shut down a little bit to conserve the lead, but I have concerns that Jacob Conover is ready for this, because if he's playing, you can't be conservative and expect a running game to work. You still have
offense. Well, I was just going to say what you have, Matt, is you got a lot of talent around Jacob Conover. I mean, he's walking into riches of playmakers, and so when you're young, you don't have all that pressure. When you got all, you just got to get him the ball.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think part of the thing that Matt's pointing out too is like, look, if Jacob Conover is a quote unquote special talent, like we've heard about, well, then now's the time to show it off. Because just saying, well, you got Tyler Allgeier and Boise State's got a bad run defense is not a good enough equation. Because when we talked about it this week with Devin Kafusi, he goes, it makes all the difference in the world when you're a defensive lineman and you know it's going to be a run. And if Jacob Conover goes in the game and they just go, well, they're going to hand this thing off to Tyler Allgeier all game, are they going to take shots with a guy like Jacob Conover? I feel like A-Rod is the type of guy that would try it.
He is, but does he trust them? Because it was clear when Baylor Romney came in that he trusted Baylor, that we were going to do the same thing. We were going to be aggressive, because I know Baylor's going to make good reads and take care of the football, and that's exactly what we saw. Does he feel that way about Conover? He says all the right things, but this is a completely inexperienced quarterback. And so it's not so much my concern with Jacob Conover's abilities as it is Aaron Roderick going to call the offense the same way he would for Baylor Romney and Jaren Hall? And I just don't know. I don't know if he will. I hope that he does.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is, Matt. I don't.
Well, that's a problem
to.
Then, Scott, because
well,
then
I, no,
then
no,
accused
no,
Boise
it's not
State
a problem.
Off.
No.
I think
what
it
I'm
is.
Trying to say to you guys. Here's what I'm trying to say to you guys.
Fine, I'll listen one
okay.
time.
Just listen to
fine.
Me. Jacob Conover is going into a situation where he doesn't have to do everything by himself. He doesn't have to make all these amazing reads. There's a lot of talent on that offense, and I'm not talking about the running backs. I'm talking about the wide receivers. With the running game BYU has, you can go play action, give Jacob Conover some very simple reads. You can on early downs throw the football with some pretty simple throws that he can handle and he can get some confidence with. You got to remember, a lot of why things shut down last week is because Jacob Conover didn't get any reps during the week. And this week, if he's getting all the reps, you're at least going to make mistakes.
According to Aaron Roderick, though, four guys are getting the reps right now, so they don't even know who the quarterback is. He said that yesterday, that four guys
are still
in the mix.
Matt, you've been in this gig as long as you have, and you know how it works. We're working on four or five quarterbacks this week, man.
We got Samson and Kua throwing passes.
I've got nine quarterbacks in my back pocket. I trust all of them. It's like, you know the lines that the coaches have to say, because they have one, all their quarterbacks listening, and two, they have Boise State listening, right? I mean, in the end, they go, well, we have the advantage here where we can just tell them nothing because they know that they can kind of get away with it still. What we do know is that Baylor Romney is probably not going to play. That's just been the back. That's what Kalani Sitake does when people go into that concussion protocol. And then at the same time, we have a massive question mark around Jaren Hall, who's reportedly been not just with the wind knocked out of him, quote unquote, the possible ribs there, but also could be another injury in the mix as well. So I don't know what BYU fans are going to be expecting this weekend. So with all those things said, how do they win this stinking game, this trap game against Boise State then, Matt Biamonte?
I was just going to say, and this whole conversation we just had, it might not even matter because Tyler Allgeier is top 10 in the country in rushing. This offensive line has been dang good. Like, we talk about the quarterbacks and Tyler Allgeier, but this offensive line has surprised me a ton because they lost a lot of guys, and they just week after week, they continue to open up lanes for Tyler Allgeier. So, you know, at the end of the day, Boise State, they're not a good rushing team, and they're not a good rush defense, and if they can't slow down Allgeier, it probably doesn't matter who's playing quarterback because you can just rely on that offensive line and run the football.
Well, we're here's what we're going to do. Matt, we'll give you a couple more days to think about it, first of all. All right, so the deal is we'll give you enough time to think about it.
Jacob Conover's going to play, and BYU is going to win. So, but
okay, there
you
go.
Not going to throw the ball very much. So there you go.
They're a 5.5-point favorite in this game. So before we get out here, tell me how this thing shakes out then.
I think BYU doesn't trail at all during the game yet again, and they run the rock, and like Scott said, there's some play action mixed in. Jacob Conover will go, I don't know, like maybe 13 to 20 for 150 yards, and BYU will win by 14. So I think they'll control the line of scrimmage like they've done the last couple of weeks, and they'll get ready for a good Baylor team the following week.
So after all that, Matt just goes, yeah, same old. They won by about, I don't know, 10, 14 points. No big deal. They'll just win this thing. All right.
Same old. Romney was throwing for 300 yards. So you're not going to get the balance. It's going to be heavy run.
Boise State gives up 200 yards a game on the ground, and so BYU's hoping to take advantage of that. Matt, we'll catch you later. Thanks for being with us, man. We'll see you this weekend.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, he's Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. By the way, we're doing an extended pregame with those guys. We're gonna even join those guys for a segment this weekend.
I can't wait. Excited.
Will you stop with that attitude? All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.